Good morning, church. It's almost time for holidays. I know that there are many of you who will not take holiday. So can you please just raise your hand if there are any of you who will not take holiday this year, except Christmas Day and whatever. Or can we please give them a clap, all right? They are not going to rest. They are going to push through. So for the rest of us, time of rest is coming, but for you guys still working, keeping strong, the Lord is with you. You are not alone. All right, my name is Alida. I'm the wife of Pastor Rick. Many of you know him. He preached many times here before, and it's a privilege for me to bring the word to you this morning. I had the privilege of going to Nepal last year on a mission trip. And one day, we were traveling from one town to the next, and the road went through the jungle. So this is near the Himalayas. So it's like a jungle near the Himalayas. There's tigers in there. Anyway, so it's this big road, and one of the motorcycles broke down. It's very adventurous. I'm a mom of three, and I get to ride on a motorcycle on a mission trip, so very adventurous. But then the one wheel got flat or something. I can't quite remember. So here we are stuck in the middle of the jungle, kind of waiting for somebody to come and help us. So Pastor Amar, who we stayed with, he was busy getting everything ready so that somebody can come and help us. So we, the rest of the team, we were four people. We are just hanging around waiting for the wheel to be fixed because we want to go and have church at a nearby town. But it's very hot and it's humid. And we were just taking some videos for the people back home while we have the time, and we were playing around in the jungle and having fun. And as we were busy doing this, I can still remember my good friend Nerys Becker, she went with me. We were the only girls on the team. And we were filming her, and she was talking about how amazing it is. We're in the jungle here. We're just stuck, but the joy of the Lord is with us. And all of a sudden, she's saying, and I'm sweating like a dog. Because it was extremely hot. Now, this morning, before I came here, I had the baby on me, making him to sleep, and we were running around this morning, and I thought, my goodness, I'm sweating like a dog already, and it's only the early morning hours. So I hope if you are sweating like a dog, that you are all right, that you will cool down while we sit down, and while we're just going through the word that the Lord has given me. My job is to work with children. I love kids. I have my own kids, and then I'm also involved in the children's church here, and everything containing to kids I just love. Kids, they are the hope of our country, and they are the future. And a few Sundays ago, I can remember, I just commend the parents who are still positive and who are still wanting to have kids in the day and the age that we live in, because it is challenging times in which we have to raise children. And my heart is that we leave something for them. And the word that I love is the word legacy. And if you go look up the word legacy, it's mostly around your materialistic legacy that you leave. If you have money that you leave your kids, or a house, or a farm, or whatever. And although that is important, my heart sings that we will leave the children a spiritual legacy. Now, you can tell me this morning, Alida, I don't have children. I'm not married yet. And I have news for you. I've also said this from the front here. If we get kiddies in our church, all the kids in our church, God placed in our care as the older generation, right? They are part of this house. They are part of this church. And when we do a baby dedication, you must focus next time Rick reads the stuff that the congregation is actually saying. We are saying we receive the gift of that child, and we are willing to pray for that child. All right? So they are all our responsibility. So if I talk today about our children, I am not only talking to parents, I'm talking to all of us who are the older generation, with them being the younger generation. So are you all with me? Okay, so that's where I'm getting at. And they need to have a spiritual legacy on which they can build. We need to leave something behind for them. If you can just think how difficult it was for you, if you came out of a background with no church, maybe very conservative church, and to your walk with the Lord, how difficult that was, and the obstacles you have to overcome. My heart is that it will never be like that for my children. I hope that in a few years' time, they will surpass Rick and me with things of church and of the spiritual things. They must fly with what we leave them behind. I watch my own children, and the babysitters, I hope they don't lie. Maybe they're lying, but they tell us that our kids have good manners. So I'm like, oh, that's great. You know, you as a parent want to I did something right when the babysitters tell you, oh, they really have good manners. But the other day, I just saw my six-year-old that good manners is not going to help him when peer pressure comes to knock on his door. He's only 6 years old and it's already happening. And good manners is not helping him. When we moved from Paarl to Stellenbosch, my then 2.5-year-old had a very difficult time adapting. And one of the things that she really struggled with was potty training. She couldn't get it right. There were just too many uncertainties in her life. And good manners didn't help her then to overcome an obstacle. All right? She's now 4.5. And now she did it. But many nights, I was next to her bed. She really wanted to get it right. All right? It was a big thing in her mind. Okay, if you have more than 2-3 kids, you know, you just let them whenever. Don't worry, all right? But it was a big thing for her. She had to cry out to Jesus to help her because he's the only one that can help her because I'm not there all the time. I cannot help her. So I figured they're only 6 and 4. And there are many things in life, most things in life, good manners will not be enough for them. There must be something else that can carry them through difficult times, hardship, times of death, times when nothing is making sense to them. And good manners and a lot of money will not do it. I watched a story the other day about a nanny. It's in the English homes, the aristocratic English homes, where the nannies practically raise all the kids. And this nanny, she raised the master of the house, and she raised his first son with his first wife. So he was now in his like beginning 20s. And now she's also raising the baby of his second wife. And she saw the fruit of what she put into the elder son. And she was horrified to see that this boy is cruel, has no respect, and is wasting his life away. He's got a lot of money and a lot of inheritance that he got from his dad. But that did not work for him, all right? So she went to the father, the master of the house, and actually just said to him, we have failed. We have failed in raising this boy. Now, it's just a normal story. It's not a Christian story. And I just went, yes. Because that child, when he was a child, he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know what was there for him. There was no spiritual legacy for him to understand the ways of the Lord and to be discipled in the ways of the Lord. So by the time he goes older and older and older, he just went off the path. All right, there's no, why should I have respect for people? Why should I be kind? Why should I love? Nothing like that. So that was just injuring watching this nanny, and she was, you can just imagine what she must go through realizing that they missed it and it's too late. And my heart is for us as a church that it will never be too late for our kids and that we must wake up for the next generation. It should never be too late. We should raise them in the right way. We should disciple them in the right way. We should leave something behind. Church, otherwise, we will not have a church in 10, 15 years' time. Can you imagine where we will be if we have the right input and the right discipleship with those little ones? My heart for the kids that I teach now, they are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, is that they should actually run a church like this on a Sunday. When they are 16, 17, 18 years old, they will be able to do it if we do our job properly. They will not struggle in high school. I mean, Stellenbosch is a tough school to raise kids in. I know that one of these days my boy may be offered drugs. And I need to know that he has a foundation to fall back on when he has to answer to whoever is giving that to him. There are two institutions that the devil hates. Marriage and church. And as we can see today, the devil is pulling out all the stops to demolish it. Marriages and church. And I believe that those are actually the two institutions that is so important to the Lord. Because that is where we feel loved. That is where we have covenant. That is where I am being discipled. I experience unconditional love in my house, in my marriage, and in church. So we need to be aware of the fact that those little ones, that the devil is out to steal from them, to kill them, and to destroy them. That is what the word tells us. There's nothing pretty about it, and that is the truth. And if he can break down a marriage, a mommy and a daddy's union, or if he can break down the church for them, great. Then they can grow up lawless. Then they can grow up with no hope, with no unconditional love, And it's a wonderful open target for him to use just as he pleases. So I just want to put that out there. Today I'm not going to focus so much on marriage, but know that the devil is out to destroy your marriage if you are married. So if it's stuff in your marriage, surprise, all right? Jesus made a way through all of that. It was so beautiful what we sang this morning. While I share today, you can maybe tell me, Alida, this is really tough. But I want to tell you, Jesus made a way already for us. He made a way for us as parents. He made a way for us as single people, for older people. He made a way for us. He made a way for us to leave a spiritual legacy. It's done. It's already finished. We need to grab hold of it. All right? So just before you tell me I'm going to switch off, it's too difficult. I want to ask you a question. What is the vision of your family? All of us are part of a family, so I want to ask you, what is the vision for your family? Have you ever thought about this? Parents, what is the goal? What do we parent towards? Because we put a lot of effort into parenting. If you're not married yet, but you're in a family, do you know if your family has a vision? Where is it going? Because today I want us to think about that. Maybe you have a vision. You know where you are going. But maybe you've strayed a little. And it's not so fresh. You slack a little. Remember, I'm a parent as well. I am preaching to myself every single line. All right? I get tired. It's difficult. I'm tired. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I get strayed from the path as well. Rick and I am probably most. All right? So I want you to think. Where are we heading? Our church has a vision. It is to reach the nations, which we are busy doing, the generations, which I'm talking about today, older, younger. We need to reach all generations through disciple making, through leadership development, and through church planting. So our job is to disciple one another, to disciple the younger ones. Our job is to make little leaders. This vision is exactly the same vision we have for Kids Church. When everyone asks me, or lots of people will ask me, when we do training with them, what is the vision of our Kids Church? I'm like, but it's the same as the church. We are part of the church. We are discipling the little ones. Unfortunately, we only see them an hour or so, hour or two a week. Obviously, it's primarily the parents' job to disciple kiddies, but we're discipling them. We are making little leaders of them because one day they will plant churches or support the churches that are being planted. Okay, that is the vision. This vision was not thought out one day around a table. God gave this church this vision. Okay, this is what God wants this church to do in the season that we are in. All right. Now, I want to just share with you something that I went through a couple of years ago. I was a young mom at that stage. I had two kiddies. And obviously my husband was the pastor when we were still pastoring the church, the Shofar Church in Paul. Rick was away a lot, busy with church things. And since I had kids, I was home a lot. I couldn't go everywhere with him. And slowly but surely, I started to get irritated with everything in the church. Because it felt to me that the church was stealing my husband away. So he's not with us. Oh, he has to go to church again. He has to do intercession again. He has to visit the cell groups again. He has to go see somebody again. For goodness sake, it is a Friday night, then he has to go somewhere again. So I had that bad attitude. And I was justifying it all the time because I wanted a husband at home and I wanted Rick to be with us. So I saw my family kind of in one box and Rick in the church in the other box. And the church was like an enemy to me. It was like, if I can't have my husband this way, he's that side. I want him this side. So there was this strife all the time. And I promise you, heartache. I cried so many tears because of this. I didn't know how to fix it. I just said, Lord, obviously I was speaking to the Lord about this because I couldn't understand it. I was unhappy inside. I was discontent inside. I didn't like what was happening at that stage. So faithful as God is, obviously I moan to him all these things. I tell him, Lord, this and this and this and this and this and this. And he sees my cries. And one day, God is probably fed up with me. He said, Alida, why were you created? I'm a pastor's wife. I know that question. I'm created to worship you, Lord. Okay. That's why we are created, if you don't know. Then the Lord asked me a second question. He said to me, How can you worship me? I'm like, I know the answer, Lord. I have to worship you with that which you have given me. My gifts and my talents, the way that you've made me, all of that little package is to worship you, to bring worship unto you. Now, in the Bible, we get the gifts of the Father. We get the gifts of the Son, Jesus, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Bible school, it explains it all nicely for you if you're interested in that. But that is what God has blessed us with. And everybody differently, all right? So one of my gifts, I know, is teaching. So I said, well, Lord, I know I can teach. So God said to me, you must use your gift of teaching to go and edify and bless my house, bless the church. And he went on and he said, you must use your gift of this in the church and in for the church or for my glory and for my kingdom. And as God was speaking to me, I realized I made two boxes. Family that side, church that side. And there was strife between the two. And God said to me, did I pick up your little children? Pick them up, walk over and get into that box. Church. Is the bride of Christ, and that's the only thing Jesus is coming back for. And your family is not the enemy. It's not the opposite of church. You are the church. You need to get everything set up so that the church can be healthy, so that Jesus can come back for his bride. I'm just talking, I just want to share with you out of scripture also. In Romans 12. It's just beautiful. It speaks about the different gifts. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. All right. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And the scripture, you can go finish reading it. It goes on just at the different gifts. If you have the gift of prophecy, then you need to prophesy. All right. So we are all together the body of Christ. And God has given us different gifts that we need to bring to the body of Christ. So you can tell me, Alida, your husband is a pastor. It's very easy for you to say. All right. Whatever you have, it's just a way of thinking. It's a condition in your heart that needs to change. If God has blessed you to be an awesome businessman, he has done that so that the body of Christ can prosper. First and foremost, yes, it's to provide for your family. Yes, it is to give for those who don't have. But first and foremost, for his house. So I was a teacher for 2 years and I taught at a high school. And that was my job. But in my heart, it needed to change. God made me a teacher so that I can teach in his house, so that I can edify the house. Because God is not coming back for the high school that I am teaching at. Guys, it's important, all right? Just hang in with me. I'm just explaining to you, for those of you who aren't in ministry. God is coming back for his church, and he made me that way for his church and to bless those around me. But first and foremost, for his church. So I was like, okay, God, so here we go. I pick up my bad attitude and my children, and from now on, I want my focus to be the house of the Lord. So all of a sudden, when Rick has to go away, I am not grumpy about it. I start to pray for him when he goes to see, when he does deliverance or see people for wisdom for him, and that God will lead him and that God will direct him and that the joy of the Lord will be with him, etc. When he comes back, I actually want to hear how it went. So I ask him, how was your meeting? How did it go? How was evening church? Because at that stage, I didn't attend evening church that often with the babies. How was the evening church? I was with my husband in spirit, although I couldn't physically be there. I was supporting him in that way. I know that I'm speaking to some families here because I know that you are also picking it up. It's really a lot. It's a lot that the church is asking. And it's not about the church asking. It is about the bride of Christ getting yourself ready so that Jesus can come and fetch her. What a glorious day. I always enjoy Wim Angus because he goes like this on the stage. He jumps from excitement. So when I speak about Jesus coming to fetch us, what a glorious day. I want to jump up and down. I cannot wait for it. My kids, when I explain to them, I'm so excited. They're like, but we're going to leave everything behind. I'm like, yes. It's wonderful. It's going to be greater for their minds. It's difficult still to think it's going to be greater and better. Cardinal said to me the other day, so no tears. I said, no tears. like, okay, you can't scrape your knee. I'm like, I don't think you can scrape your knee in heaven. I'm like, I cannot wait to get there. I want my excitement to roll down to them. Okay, so it was easy. God said to me, you worship me, Alida. You worship me with your talents. And the words the Lord used when he spoke to me was, what is the vehicle in which I want you to bring me worship and glory? And that was the church. So that's where I got it. So Ephesians 5, I want to read that to you. Verse 23. It's speaking about the husband and the wife, and they are comparing it to Christ and the church. All right, exactly what I'm saying. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of our church. In the season that we've been through, we saw that. Jesus was faithful, and he was the head of this church, nobody else. And I'm so faithful, I'm so thankful for it. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That is how much Christ loves his bride. He loves his bride. He gave himself up. He crucified himself. He separated himself from his Father for his bride. And that is you and me. That is the church waiting for Jesus to come and get us. Why did he do that? So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That is where we are going to be holy and without blemish. And Jesus has made a way for us to go there already. That's good news. You are very quiet this morning, but that is good news to me. I want to read to you Revelation 19, verse 7. It says, let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. I want to say one day, I have made myself and the people around me and the bride ready for Jesus to come and get me. I want to be pretty. I want my dress to be the best. I want to look the best as the bride. I don't want to be ashamed of anything. I want to know that I gave it my all to prepare the bride of Christ, because he has gone all the way for us and he's waiting for us to fetch us. That really excites me. Now we, as the older generation, we need to model all of this to the younger generation. All right, now again, I'm speaking to all of us. So we can ask ourselves, my heart is that kids should love church. It must be wonderful for them to come to church. They must want to come to church, all right? Now, in my own home, I see they don't always want to come to church, okay? I love church. I just do. My husband, we love church. We love coming to church. We love it. So sometimes our kids don't want to come to church. Do we stay home? No, because our world does not revolve around our children. It revolves around God's kingdom. So we say, sorry, guys, love is a choice. It's not a feeling. Okay, we choose to go to church today. Last Sunday, we had a lovely, lunch, there we go. We had a lovely lunch with people, and it blesses me so. The one mom, she said to me, she cannot understand why people come to church once a month or just when they feel like it. We go to church every week, she says. It's good for us. It's good for the children. I'm like, amen, sister. It is good for us. It's good for our kids to come to church, although sometimes they may not feel like it. My little one, my four-year-old, when we arrived in Stellenbosch 2 years ago, she did not want to come to kids' church. So for 2 years, we are here now almost 2 years, she did not want to go to kids' church. She came to church with us every single Sunday, although she did not want to go to kids' church. She stayed with me. She stayed with Rick. We have nice snackies that we put in for them. By the way, I put the nicest snacks in on a Sunday because I want to make it fun for them to come to church. It must be nice. All right? So as they grow through their years and as they go through difficulties, we go to church. Never mind how you feel. And that is what we do at church. So she's in kids' church today for the third time, I think, since we have arrived. So that's awesome. All by herself, nobody holding her hand. So I just praise the Lord for that. I want to ask you, do you love church? If you don't love church, your children or the kids looking up to you will also not enjoy church. Kids do what they see being modeled to them, not what they are told. That we all know, all right? So you need to ask yourself today, as a parent, as somebody of the older generation, do I love church? Because don't tell your children, we're going to love church, but you fake it, all right? They pick it up. Do we love our church? I always say, we can rave about the best husband that we have. So I can go on Facebook and say, oh, I have the greatest husband ever. I post pictures of my kids always because they are just the most prettiest and cutest and whatever. And then I say, I have the best church in the world. And then everyone's, oh, no, no, you can't say that. All right? Why not? I love my church. I love my Shofar family. And yes, I believe that this is the best church in the world. Right? And we need to be able to say it because you love it. You love church. All right? And if God has put you here, then this is your house. If God has planted you in another church, it doesn't matter. Then you go to that church where the Lord has planted you. Okay? I just enjoy spending time here. When we came here the beginning of last year, we didn't know anybody. It was weird. All right? So you come in here, and my husband is new as a pastor, and we as the family here, but we don't really know anybody. So it was difficult. So then you had to choose to love the church, because the church is not Bloomhof Building. The church is you and me. All right? That is the church. So as we got to know people, it got even more exciting. All right? The second thing I want to ask you, and this is actually a sermon all by itself, but we as the older generation need to flow in the Holy Spirit. The disciples were panicking when Jesus went away, when he said to them, I will go away. And they're like, oh no, what are we going to do? And Jesus said to them, do not worry. It is to your advantage that I go away, because something greater, my Holy Spirit, will come. So now we have it. That is the difference. It was the difference for me in my life from being very religious to experiencing life and life in abundance. Was the day I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I started to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So my kids need to see it. The kids in the children's church need to see it. The kids all around, they need to look up to us. Your brothers' kids, your own sisters, your brothers, they need to see it in our lives. So beautiful. I think the Lord set it up for my sermon today. But last night, Kari just all of a sudden collapsed because his tummy was sore. But he's like crying, no, it's sore, it's sore. We don't really have stomach problems in our home. So I'm like, huh, what? I don't even have medicine for a tummy that's not lekker. So I'm like, what did you eat? And Henrik goes through the whole list. Nothing funny, nothing weird. It's just, it's got these extreme stomach cramps or whatever. So I'm busy there with working on my sermon, whatever. And I see Rick takes him and Fia aside. Like, no, Fia, come. We're going to pray now for Cardio. So they pray for him. So Rick asks him, Cardo, if 10 out of 10 is you are perfectly healed and 1 out of 10 you're just a little bit healed, how much are you healed? Only 1 out of 10. Okay, Sissy, we're going to pray again, all right? Those of you who have done the SOS training, because there we are being taught how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. So I can really recommend this. If you are not, you're still unsure about this, go do the SOS course. So Sissy prays again, right? Jesus, Rick leads her in prayer. That's what we need to do. We need to show them how to pray, the little ones they don't know yet. So Rick leads her into to pray for her brother. How much better now? I don't know if it was 2 or 3 or whatever. 4 times they prayed. All right? 4 times. And he was healed. And Rick says, go tell mommy. Right? Go testify of what has happened to you. So he runs to me, kind of awkward. My stomach cramps are gone. I'm like, what happened? No, they prayed for me. 4 times, and I got healed. All right? Our children need to see it. They need to grow up with it. It must be part of our everyday life. All right? I'm so passionate about these gifts because that is what makes the difference. That is what's going to make the difference from our church to another church where there's just no life. All right? People need to see that we flow in these gifts. The gifts of wisdom, to get words of wisdom for somebody, get words of knowledge, to have faith. Healing, working of miracles, prophecy, to discern in the spirit, to be able to speak a tongue that somebody else in another language can understand. Those are already for us. It's open. Jesus made a way for us. If this is very weird for you, I'm going to pray for you afterwards, all right? If this is the first time that you hear about these things. But I know that my son and my daughter and my baby, as they grow up, they need this to be able to stand in the society that they are being raised in. they are not going to make it with good manners and nice smile and money in their pocket. They are not going to make it. And that we can see all around us already today. So church, I want to ask you today, we need to wake up. I want to ask you, do you know one of the children's names that God has entrusted with us in this church? Just one, if you don't have kids, just one. It's time that we need to get to know them better. It's time that we need to acknowledge them on a Sunday morning. My heart is to show all the students, hey, do you know that there's a morning service? And do you know all these kids that's in our church? Because they need to see it. Because they are the heroes. They are the models. They are the cool people to these kids. They look up to them. And they are entrusted to all of us. All right. And Jesus, it's just so beautiful that nothing that I share is too much because Jesus did it all. He did it all for us. He made a way for us. Church is about giving. When we come to church, it's about giving worship unto the Lord. That's what it's about. With my brothers and sisters. Newsflash. Small group is about giving, not receiving. All right? So when you go to a small group, you must like, Lord, who can I bless tonight? What can I give tonight? Who needs a smile if you're a friendly person? Who needs a smile and a hug? God, who needs just really a gift of faith in their prayer? Lord, you've blessed me with the extra measure of faith. I want to pray for somebody. And that it should be the same when you come to church. It's an attitude of giving, of blessing, of edifying one another because you are the church, of preparing the bride of Christ. For me, the buck stops here. Jesus is coming for his bride. It's easy. It's not complicated. That's what he's coming for. So that's what excites me. That is what I want to be a part of. That is where I want to help, to build, to get it ready. Like I said, this thing is really shaking. If I jump, I'm just scared that it will go off the stage. I cannot wait for that day for Jesus to come and get us. I want to read to you John 13:34. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. All right. So Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. The old commandment said, you must love your neighbor as yourself. So if you did not love yourself, well, that drops the standard for your neighbor. But Jesus came and he gave it all out of his love for us. And he says, that is the new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another sacrificially in that way, honoring people as higher than yourself, serving other people. Jesus was the ultimate servant, and he showed that to us. In leadership, the higher you lead, the more you serve. That's it. It should be part of who you are, is to be a servant to the people under you that work for you. If people should ask me if there is one saying or quote or line that I love or live by, that is, you love what you sacrifice for. That I know is part of why I love the Shofar family so much. I know that I've sacrificed much, all right? But that aside, God knows about it. That is why I love it. That is why we love our kids so much, because we sacrifice a lot for them. That is why I love my husband, because I sacrifice a lot for him. You love that which you sacrifice for. Is sacrifice easy? No. It's not supposed to be easy. Jesus did the ultimate sacrifice for us. It just shocked me this week. If you were following the news, the Groenewald family, they were in Kabul, in Afghanistan, and the father and the two teenage children were bombed and killed. And the mom, Hanley, they're all from South Africa. She was not with them. She was called out unexpectedly she's a doctor, to go to the hospital or clinic where she worked. And her comment in the newspaper struck me. She just said, I wish I could go with him. And I realized that mom knew exactly where her two teenagers were. No doubt about it. Was it easy for them to move to Afghanistan? Guys, if you've never seen footage of Afghanistan, especially that city, it's really not nice living there. It's really dangerous living there. All right? But they took their kids with them. It blessed me. Those kids were ready. They were executed. But they're with Jesus now. The mom knows it for sure. So she and her husband did something right. They should have spent lots of time getting their children, giving that spiritual legacy to them, giving that the right food for them to eat spiritual-wise now so that they can stand at the day of execution. It blesses my heart to see things like that. It's happening closer and closer to home because we can think, oh, tralala, we live in Stellenbosch. It's such a nice, clouded little city. Okay, this is Africa, guys. We live in Africa. Okay, we need to open our eyes to that which is happening around us. The teenagers, the name was Ruede or Rude and John Pierre. I will remember their names because they made such a big impression on me. And I would love my children one day, I didn't even know these kids, but I would love to know that one day they didn't flinch when they are being executed for being accused of being Christians. Revelation 2 verse 10. It is the letter to the persecuted church. Our church are not even persecuted. It's the letter to the persecuted church. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. The last part. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. I will give you the crown of life. That is what it's about. Be faithful until death. It's not easy, but that is what Jesus is encouraging us with this morning. I truly believe. Be faithful unto death. Not only for ourselves. Do not be lovers of ourselves, but to think of those coming behind us. To think of those who are going to be parents and grandparents in a society much worse than we are experiencing at this stage. We need to model, set an example, lead the younger generation so that they will be able to stand. Does your children know how Jesus saved you? Do they know your testimony? If not, you have homework. The stories that my children enjoy the most are the ones that I share with them where Jesus did something for me. When I didn't have any tackies or any money, and he provided the money for my shoes to be bought. They love it. They want to listen to it all over again and again and again. The day where I had to stop next to the road when the Holy Spirit laid on my heart that I should pray for somebody and the miracles that happened then. That is the stories. In the olden days, people sat around a fire and they shared stories about who they are and like ancient tribes or whatever. That is the stories our kids need to grow up with. They need to know their heritage and where they're coming from. They need to know who Christ is in all of that. And they will, with all their hearts, will want to follow that. It's so beautiful. David, he says in Psalms that your loving kindness is better than life. God's loving kindness is better than life. If you've never experienced that before today, I have to introduce you to Jesus Christ because his loving kindness is better than life. He is better than life because as we know, life can suck. But there is a hope for us. There is a hope for the generation coming behind us, coming after us. There is a hope and his name is Jesus. Can you stand with me? If the band can come up for me, please. As the band plays, I just want you to ask the Lord. Maybe he's already spoken to you. You know what you must do. Ask God. Lord, I'm clueless. I don't know any kids. I don't like kids. What must I do? Where do you want me? What is the first thing that needs to change in my heart, in my house, in my family, in my life? I want to leave something behind when I go. If you can close your eyes, because I believe that God is going to deal with many different things in our hearts today. And Holy Spirit, may you reveal it to us. Holy Spirit, may you encourage those who need encouragement this morning. There is a crown of life waiting for us. There is eternal life waiting for us. And we don't want it for ourselves, Lord. We want it for the generation coming behind us. We want them to run into eternal life so much faster than we ever had. If you struggle to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, you really want it for your children, and you know that it is in the Bible because it's in the Bible, but you still struggle with it, I'm going to call you forward when we end off, because I want to pray for you. To experience the life that the Holy Spirit brings. Because remember, it's God's Holy Spirit. God brings life. And like myself, I was stuck in religion. So frustrated. Because I knew there was more, but nobody told me. Father, I thank you that you made a plan by sending your Son. Jesus, that you made a way for us. You didn't promise us an easy life, Lord, and today we say, it's all right. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to church unpersecuted. Thank you for that, God. Thank you that I have legs to walk, that I was not bombed yesterday. Jesus, we want to make a difference. We want to leave a spiritual legacy for those coming behind us. Father, we are tired. We are tired of just dead religion. We cannot change our families. Nothing is happening in our society or in our city. We want to change it, Lord. We want our children to run with that which we have given them, that which we have left behind for them. We know that your presence is with us, God. We know that you are here. We know that you're faithful to us. I'm just going to give some time. And if you want to pray in the Spirit, then pray in the Spirit. You're welcome, because I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to minister to us different things here this morning. Siana makaya buku susu turu tana na sina raba na na si turu takaya buku buku susu turu ba tiana ro susu turu tu kaya buku susu terana ke antara aja si tiri abu mama kioro mama si terama. There are some of you who feel nobody has ever discipled me. Nobody left a spiritual legacy for me. How can I leave it for somebody else? If that is you, I want you now just to raise your hand to Jesus. Because He has made a way. He has made a way for you to overcome it. And Jesus will show you, and He will give you wisdom. And He will make you brave. And He is more than enough for you. So just declare and say, that is me. I'm going to ask, if there are people who really want to just experience the Holy Spirit and start to flow in the Holy Spirit, I just want to lay a hand on you, and some of the cell facilitators, we're just going to lay a hand on you and pray for you and trust for your breakthrough to be here today. All of us, God left His Holy Spirit for all of us, not for certain people, all of us. And we can all flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can all pray in the Spirit. It's for all of us. Life is for all of us. It's not for a selected few. I want you to step out where you are. You can come and stand here, because I want to lay hands on you and pray for you today. You can be bold. You can close your eyes if you're Just come. If you're scared, you can bring somebody else with you. Because that's specifically what I want to pray for today. Thank you for coming. All right. As I come, I'm just going to close off. Father Lord, we as a family, Lord, as the Shofar Stellenbosch family, Father, want to come today and we say, Lord, we don't want our efforts and our life to be in vain. And we want to leave something behind for those coming behind us. If we're married, not married, it doesn't matter. Use us, God. Show us how to bring our gifts and our talents, Lord. How to prepare the bride, God, not only for ourselves, but for those coming behind us. Jesus, thank you that you're coming to fetch us, that we can be so excited about it. I pray for life into families this morning. I come and I bind just a religious spirit that wants to keep us captive and stuck. In Jesus' name, I pray, Holy Spirit, that people will get to know you as the helper, as the comforter, as the one who leads them. In Jesus' name. I just sense that there is some resistance still in some of our hearts. Some of you, you are just not sure. You are resisting the Holy Spirit. And God wants specifically today to work with you. Alida, it's too weird, it's too airy-fairy, it's too this, it's too that. It is for the sake of eternal life. Nothing can compare to that. No discomfort can compare to that. Jesus went through the most discomfort for us. I think we're going to end off with a song, if that's fine. And I'm going to ask that people will come to the front if they need prayer. I'm going to pray for them, especially people who want to experience the Holy Spirit. Start to flow in the Holy Spirit. May the Lord open your eyes for those in the next generation as you walk into Spar, as you go home, as you drive past them, as you drop them off at school. Know that we are passing the, is it a baton to them, stokkie, to them. And Jesus is coming to get us all. Be blessed and thank you for your time being here this morning.